A lobster loses a fight on the ocean floor. Within moments, its brain chemistry shifts. Serotonin drops, posture collapses, confidence evaporates. The defeated creature literally shrinks into itself, and its nervous system begins rewiring to accept subordinate status. Now, here's the startling part. This same neurological dance has been playing out for 350 million years, long before humans walked upright. And that antidepressant your doctor prescribed? It works on lobsters too, boosting their serotonin and restoring their dominant stance. We share more with these ancient crustaceans than we'd like to admit. Somewhere deep in your brain, an ancient calculator constantly monitors your position in the social hierarchy. It watches how others treat you, adjusts your neurochemistry accordingly, and shapes your entire perception of possibility. Low status means restricted serotonin, heightened stress responses, and a defeated posture that signals vulnerability to everyone around you. But here's the redemptive truth. Positive feedback loops work both ways. When you consciously stand up straight, both physically and metaphorically, you're not just faking confidence. You're sending signals to that primitive brain that circumstances have changed. Your nervous system responds, people begin treating you differently, and genuine transformation becomes possible. In a world of 7 billion people connected by screens, hierarchies have become dizzyingly vertical. No matter your skill level, someone exists who makes you look incompetent by comparison. Your internal critic knows this and condemns your mediocrity relentlessly, suggesting that only delusion can save you from despair. But perhaps the game itself is rigged, and perhaps you're the one who rigged it. What you aim at determines what you see. This isn't metaphorical, it's neurological reality. Your high-resolution vision is metabolically expensive, so your brain must triage ruthlessly, pointing attention at specific targets while everything else fades into background noise. In famous experiments, people counting basketball passes missed a person in a gorilla suit walking through the scene. They weren't blind, they simply weren't looking. When facing crisis, consider that life isn't the problem, your aim is. Why do people give their dogs medication twice daily but forget their own life-saving pills? One-third never fill prescriptions, half who do won't take them correctly. Yet these same individuals meticulously care for pets, children, and gardens. This paradox reveals a deep sense of unworthiness. We question whether we deserve care at all. The solution isn't positive affirmations, but something more demanding. Treat yourself as if you were someone you're responsible for helping, not because you're perfect, but because you're worth the effort of becoming better. This transforms self-care from indulgence into duty, from narcissism into responsibility. We often choose destructive relationships not from naivety, but from vanity. There's something intoxicating about playing savior, about being the stable one who sees potential where others see trouble. But rescue fantasies mask darker motivations, the desire to look virtuous by comparison or to avoid your own challenges. Research shows that placing poor performers among exceptional teams degenerates the team rather than elevating the individual. Down is easier than up. A 3-year-old screams through an airport while parents walk alongside, helpless. 30 seconds of directed problem solving would end this, but modern parents often fear disciplining their children. This paralysis stems partly from misreading Rousseau's Noble Savage, the belief that children are born pure, corrupted only by society's constraints. Yet Rousseau abandoned 5 children to orphanages while preaching about humanity's gentle nature. Reality proves different. People generally improve with age, becoming kinder and more emotionally stable. A properly socialized 3-year-old is both polite and resilient, welcomed by peers and appreciated by adults. This social acceptance does more for developing individuality than avoiding discipline ever could. Clear rules create secure children and calm parents. Discipline isn't cruelty. It's the careful balance of mercy and judgment that promotes psychological maturity. When you correct a child, you're teaching them to behave in ways that make them likable and successful, gifts no committed parent should withhold from temporary displeasure. Mass shooters embody a Mephistophelian mindset that sees existence as fundamentally corrupt and deserving of destruction. When faced with suffering, we can respond with vengeful destruction or transformative growth. Solzhenitsyn chose the latter, examining his life with brutal honesty. He took himself apart piece by piece, letting what was harmful die, then wrote The Gulag Archipelago, a book of such overwhelming moral force that demolished communism's intellectual credibility. One man's decision to change himself instead of cursing fate shook an entire system. Start small with your own transformation. Have you taken full advantage of your opportunities? Are destructive habits undermining your health? Stop what you know to be wrong. Your entire being can tell you things you can't fully articulate. Say only what makes you strong. Do only what you could speak of with honor. Don't blame external forces before ordering your own experience. Notice something bothering you that you could fix and would fix, then fix it. Ask yourself daily, what could I do to make things better? You'll retrain your vision to see opportunity where you once saw only inadequacy. Life is suffering. This truth frames human existence. Our ancestors discovered something profound. Something better might be attained in the future by giving up something valuable now. This discovery of delayed gratification was simultaneously the discovery of time itself, causality, and what makes us distinctly human. The progression from leaving some for later to sharing is beneficial laid the groundwork for reliability, honesty, and generosity, the prototype for morality itself. But when things aren't going well, what we value most is sometimes the problem. Like the monkey who won't unclench his fist to escape the jar, we cling to what traps us. Meaning emerges when impulses are regulated toward the betterment of being. Unlike expedience, following blind impulse for short-term gain, meaning integrates your actions across time, benefiting yourself, family, and world. By asking, "How could I use my time to make things better?" you experience ever-deepening meaning. Not happiness, but something more substantial, atonement for your fractured being and the pathology of history. During clinical training, a vulnerable psychiatric patient asked to join the student group. The easy path was a face-saving lie. The harder path was truth explaining they were psychology students and she couldn't join. Though this highlighted the gap between them, she understood. Later, a landlord, a former biker gang president prone to drinking binges, appeared at 2 a.m., trying to sell household items for alcohol money. The conversation was direct but respectful, explaining that giving him money would undermine his goal of quitting and that late-night visits caused anxiety. He stared for 15 seconds, scanning for contempt or deceit. Finding none, he left and never tried again. You can use words to manipulate the world or to reveal what is. The person who insists everything is fine while avoiding conflict becomes an exploitable tool, sick from suppressed truth. Not revealing yourself to others means you can't reveal yourself to yourself. Set ambitions focused on character rather than status, because character travels with you and helps you prevail against adversity. Articulate your experience clearly and do not lie, especially to yourself. Truth is the antidote to suffering, and meaning emerges from alignment between what you say, what you do, and who you truly are. When you speak truth, you're not just communicating, you're participating in the structure of reality itself, shaping both your inner world and the world around you. The person who tells the truth becomes the person who can be trusted, and trust is the foundation of all meaningful relationships. This doesn't mean brutal honesty without compassion. It means having the courage to see things as they are, to acknowledge your limitations and failures, and to speak with integrity even when silence would be easier. You need to hear the truth about your own life, the areas where you're avoiding responsibility, the relationships dragging you down, the habits slowly destroying your potential. Only by facing these truths can you begin the work of transformation, the daily practice of becoming someone worthy of respect, someone capable of bearing life's inevitable suffering through honest self-examination and genuine growth.